He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
This is a WABC News Bulletin.
Back here in the WABC newsroom, Noam Layden with you. Of course, normally we'd hear Geraldo right here at the top of the hour. He's not sitting here 17 floors above Madison Square Garden in the WABC Geraldo studio. He's actually in Mexico City. What? What is going on in Mexico City? Geraldo, what are you doing in Mexico City?
Noam, it started shortly after I left our studios yesterday. I got a call from my colleagues at Fox News. They wanted me to come down and try to get a handle on this epic prison escape by El Chapo, by Shorty, by this person is one of the most powerful criminals in modern history, a man, a billionaire Mexican drug lord who was imprisoned in their version of the Supermax and managed somehow, he was only in the prison for 16 months, managed during that time to arrange an incredible, and I use the term epic, I don't use it, in any kind of exaggeration. It was, they built a bodega, they used the bodega that they built to dig a tunnel three stories below the ground to light it, to ventilate it, to air condition it, and then get this, Noam, 1.5 kilometers, almost 1 mile long, this tunnel, and not only did they dig this tunnel from the bodega that they created under the prison, but they managed to dig to find out exactly where in the world, digging underground in the dark, they pinpointed exactly where the entrance should be or the exit from the cell of El Chapo. And they managed to come into the one part of his prison cell where the toilet is and where there's a little half wall so the prisoners can have privacy, Noam, when they are on the toilet. So the incredible nature of this feat, this elaborate scheme, was stunning. The ingenuity was incredible. The competence of the tunnel people matched only by the incompetence and or absolute utter low-down and dirty corruption of the people in that prison. This was a construction project. Just imagine how much dirt it is to dig down three stories and then 1.5 kilometers, then up three stories. Just the dirt alone should have been a dead giveaway to somebody that this dirt was not coming from a bodega construction. This is an act. The reason I'm still in Mexico City, we got here early today, is that this capital city is paralyzed already with a series of strikes complaining about various aspects of the dysfunction of the Mexican government. I can detail those as the program progresses. But here you have the Mexican capital in disarray. You have the Mexican president who at the time of El Chapo's escape was on a state visit to France. So the president of Mexico, the only thing he's ever achieved is the capture of El Chapo. He happens to be out of the country when El Chapo escapes the prison that he, the president said, was a place he could never escape from. The president's not here. It is safe to say, Noam, that right now this is a country that has been destabilized by this dramatic act. It's leading the newscast back in the States. You can imagine what the story is here in Mexico. Here it is. Everybody talking about it, every newspaper, it's 24/7 right now. The only people not focused on El Chapo are the people with these other beefs. There are people here from the various teachers' unions. Why are they here? They're here because last year there was a massacre of 43 teachers that was only resolved and is still not fully solved. When it was clear that the mayor of the small town and his wife, two politicians, hired this criminal gang of killers to kill these teachers who were protesting for higher pay. So they killed 43 teachers. A couple of months ago, 17 security guards were killed by these drug bandits. Now you have El Chapo escaping right from under the president's nose. This country is absolutely hanging by a thread. It is on the teeters. I think, Noam, it is fair to say, without exaggerating, Mexico teeters on the brink of anarchy and total dysfunction. Competing demonstrations, incompetence at the highest levels, corruption clearly at the highest levels. Who got paid off? It's not going to be some lowly prison guard. This thing, this scandal will sweep this government from power in Mexico. And if we needed a strong partner to guard their side, this side, the side that I am on right now, of the Mexican-Texas Southwest U.S. border, man, they're not going to get those partners they have been desperately seeking, because this country now, this El Chapo, this escape, is like the nail in the Mexican coffin. Back to you, Noam.
Talking with Geraldo, who is in Mexico City this morning. So is there a mass protest? Is that where you are right now? Is there some huge protest of all these groups?
We are about a half a mile away. You'll soon hear, as the program progresses, the chanting of the first. There are several different competing protests. They are coming down the big avenues in this sprawling capital. It's bigger than New York. It's probably twice the size in terms of population than New York. But it is a place where the infrastructure it barely functions. I mean, it has its charm, don't get me wrong. But right now, this is a capital where everybody is focused on how their government has failed them. I mean, I'm telling you, Peña Nieto, the president, when he came in as a businessman, a competent person who was going to restore order to chaotic Mexico. But the only thing he's managed to achieve is the capture, with heavy U.S. intelligence input, of El Chapo. Now El Chapo, for the second time, has escaped, and the president, who was out of the country, is going to face a very, very restive and critical population when he gets back to Mexico. Now,
so let's bring it home for one second. You know, of course, the campaign to be the Republican nominee, which is sort of in full swing at this point, so much of it has been about illegal Mexican immigration into the United States. Does this kind of chaos have more Mexicans thinking about running across the border?
There is no doubt that the more Mexico is destabilized, the more it sheds, particularly its young people. They feel that there's no opportunity here, that they can't trust anybody, that their leaders are bought and sold and paid for. It is absolutely going, the anarchy in Mexico is absolutely going to add to the pressure on the southern border of the United States. Let me say about Trump, and about, we're looking at carloads of federal and local police now. We're passing all the police vans, the trucks. They're all blinking. They have alternating red and blue lights. The officers are all wearing vests, some carrying heavy weapons, lining this main boulevard here in anticipation of the unrest that is now just scant minutes away. But back to Trump and his surge. I saw reading The Hill yet another poll, the second week in a row, that shows Donald Trump as the leading candidate for the Republican nomination. And now he's putting some distance between himself and the number two man, Jeb Bush. Trump at 17%, Jeb Bush at 14%, as I recall the latest figures. There is no doubt that the vast majority of people who are responding, particularly on the Republican side, are reacting to the issue of undocumented immigrants. Trump has clearly hit a nerve. That is a very motivated group. They are the same people, I think, largely, who gave the Tea Party its oomph, its edge, back in 2007. They are very unhappy with undocumented immigration and the people being here. You know, why? I don't know. I'm not a shrink. But it is an issue that he has found tremendous success in. I wrote yesterday on one of my either Facebook or Twitter that he will find, as other candidates did, that campaigning against illegal immigration or immigration reform, against immigration reform, so-called amnesty, is like a bad drug. You get a quick high and a long hangover. I don't think that Trump can ride this wave of discontent all the way to the White House, but he is certainly going to disrupt the Republican nominating process. And my goodness, the way demographically those primary states shape up, with all of those candidates draining off some of the vote, and Trump scoring with this heavy anti-immigration vote, this man could be the Republican nominee for president, Omar.
You know, what'll be, I think, fascinating is when this Fox debate happens in a couple weeks from now, it'll be the Republicans who are opposing Trump's first chance to take a shot at him. And it'll be awfully interesting to see how they're able to do that, because he seems to hit back so much harder when he gets hit at.
I have no doubt that Trump will be the subject of the debates now, only, 3 weeks away or less. Nothing is going to change very much. Trump's not going to falter. He has found a message that is working, at least at this stage of the campaign, and he's going to stick with it. We hear the sirens now as the crowd approaches. He's going to stick with it. It is working for him. He's essentially declaring war on Mexico, on disordered, unruly, unruled Mexico. It is working. Now, his unpopularity among Latinos has reached a new high. He's now 81% unpopular among Latinos. My friend Anna Navarro, the CNN commentator who hails from Nicaragua, quipped, Trump's got 81% unpopularity among Latinos. What are these other Latino 19% thinking? Meaning that why isn't it 100% Latinos against Trump? But it's still, if the Republican Party needs 35-40% of the Hispanic vote to win the White House, as historically has been the in recent elections, the benchmark, Mitt Romney only got 17, or rather Mitt Romney got 27% of the Latino vote. If Trump is really at 19 right now, it could be a historic low vote, Latino vote for him. So while illegal immigration working in the short term, working now for him to get the nomination, it's not going to get him elected unless he makes a turn and somehow keeps his original primary voters and then manages to accumulate others by moderating a message that up until now, to Latino ears at least, has been very harsh.
Talking with Geraldo, who is live in Mexico City. Geraldo, we will check in with you as the morning wears on. Big protests brewing in Mexico City, such chaos going on in the streets. And of course, Geraldo loves chaos. He'll be there live all morning long. We'll be checking in with him. No G-Man this morning, if you've been listening this morning, he's in Mexico City, where the country is really on the verge of anarchy. Chaos in the streets, big protests in Mexico City. So we flew him over there to check out and see what's going on. Just a mess there. And you sort of wonder how it's sort of all going to recover. And then, of course, you wonder how it's going to affect us back here on a whole bunch of different levels, whether it be illegal immigration, more people crossing the borders, not just the folks that normally do, the down and out, the poor, but people who say, hey, what's on the horizon for Mexico? Maybe I can better myself on the American side of the border. How many more are going to cross the border? Are there going to be thousands more trying to get across? It's interesting. And, of course, plays in to Donald Trump's big issue, illegal immigration from the Mexican border. And boy, it makes him look like he knows what he's talking about. And the polls sure show the same thing, that Suffolk University poll Geraldo talking about, with Trump in first place now by 3 percentage points over Jeb Bush, the rest of the crowd in the single digits. So whatever it is, he's hitting the nerve across the country, continues to do so. I'll take your phone calls. We've got a lot to talk about, not just about Mexico. It's 866-Geraldo, 866-437-2536. I'm going to ask a bunch of questions before the morning is out, including we'll talk more about the Iran nuke deal. Want to get your take on that. And I have some pretty positive thoughts. I think when I read over this deal over the last couple hours, from all different sources, by the way, I don't just read one paper or overseas looking to see what they were saying. I think in the end, this is actually a pretty good deal, and I'll explain why after the break. And also before we roll out of here, too, have you noticed this surge in the homeless population as you walk across the city or take the subways? And are we on a downward spiral in the city? I think we are. And I'm going to give you a lot of proof why. And should we blame Mayor de Blasio? So we have a lot more to get to before we roll out of here. Again, the 866-HERALDO, 866-437-2536. Ruth wants to talk about Mexico, though. Good morning, Ruth. You're on the Geraldo Rivera Show. Hello, Ruth.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. I'd like to speak with Geraldo personally.
Well, let me see. Hold on. Let me see if I can find him.
Okay.
Geraldo! Geraldo! He's not here. He's in Mexico City. But you can talk to me. You know him.
I know I'm speaking to Noam. I recognize your voice. I'd like Geraldo to go into the enclaves where the Mexicans live and speak with them on a personal level in their own language and see what's going on.
What do you think's going on there, Ruth?
It's the Donald Trumps of America who are exploiting these people. They come here honestly. They want to make an honest dollar, and they're made to commit crimes by their employees that the employees don't want to commit. And if they don't do it, they lose their jobs. And they're afraid to talk about it.
What part of the city are we talking about?
We're talking about Brooklyn.
What part of Brooklyn, though?
All over Brooklyn. Bay Ridge, Steepshead Bay, Bensonhurst, Brighton Beach,
all right. I'm going to check it out, Ruth. I will definitely check that out. Huh, that's interesting. All right, worth looking into. G-Man's got the morning off. Well, I shouldn't even say that. Geraldo is in Mexico City today, covering what is a really chaotic scene there. El Chapo, of course, escaping from prison after being behind bars for just 14 months. And then you have this teachers union who's going to hold this huge protest in Mexico City today, angry about the fact that 43 teachers were shot, and they still haven't figured out who was behind that. And it's all sort of converging at the same time. And then, of course, on this side of the border, you have Donald Trump, who's been wagging his finger at Mexico for the last couple of weeks. And, boy, that's worked really well for him. So we'll check in with Geraldo as the morning wears on. There's this huge protest that's amassing right now, and he's there, and he's going to give us a full report on what that looks like before the morning is out. So you have me, Noam, if you don't recognize my voice. Noam Layden, who usually plays sidekick to the G-Man. Let's go to your phone calls. Let's see, 866-HERALDO, 866-437-2536. I see lots of people lined up. They already want to talk about Mexico or Donald Trump. Happy to take your calls. Ralph in New York, you're on 77 WABC. Good morning, Ralph.
Noam, good morning. You know, I'll tell you, we're bamboozled once again by Donald Trump. We're taken in once again because we never cease to be suckers time and time again. And you know something with the man himself? I don't dislike the man. I just know he's a phony. I just know that when the chips are down, he won't be there. And I know it's an unpopular view, but I may be a bit more, a little more cynical than the average folks here, because I've seen people just accept him and accept those feel-good statements, accept those generalizations that he throws out there. And then when everything gets rough and the going gets very, very tough and they start to attack and they start to dig into his personal, into his past, Noam, where he cannot defend himself with the indiscretions that he's made in the past, you're going to see a guy run like a rabbit away from the media. He'll answer back for a short period of time. But when it really gets heated, he'll be nowhere to be found. And what he's doing right now is setting himself up in the long run to be accessible and to have more opportunity in the media, because that's where his forte is.
I couldn't agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more, Ralph. And in fact, I think, and tell me if you agree with this, I think that the media has really sort of glad-handed him and patted him on the back because they're afraid of him. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of him. I hate using the word bully, but I think he's kind of a bully. And when he fights back so hard, he's so nasty. And so these media members of the media are really afraid to go on the attack with him because they know he's going to hit back below the belt so hard that they're afraid of him. And
you know what's wonderful, Noam? If you have everything in the world, you have all the money you could ever want, the people that I admire don't speak about it, and they're very, very, a regular guy. They don't throw their wealth in your face at the drop of a hat. And you know, if you have it, you have it. You don't have to flaunt it. And but for the country's sake, it's destroying the Republican Party. It's putting a big monkey wrench right into the thick of things. Where I see Hillary gaining office, and we're going to have to deal with that for 8 years, and Trump will be the main reason why.
You might be very right about that. And Ralph, thank you so much for your call. I've watched the race in the similar way that Ralph does. Look at that. I'm actually agreeing with somebody. First call, I like that. Is that I the way I see it, too, is that it's going to roll out the exactly the way Ralph is going to. He's going to stay in this race, Donald Trump, until it gets a little too heated for him. He's thin-skinned, and then he's going to run the other way, and there's no downside for him because he's got billions of dollars in the bank. He'll get some new reality show. His brand name is out there bigger and better than ever before. And I don't think he's serious about this. I watch him, and I don't think he's serious about this run. I really don't. I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all. I watch him, and I say, he looks like the TV pitch man that he's always been. And I don't dislike the guy. I just don't think that he's serious about this run. And initially, he wasn't. I think when he made that speech, and he accidentally fell onto those comments about Mexicans, he didn't mean to say what he said. And then he ran with it because he saw that the media was running with it and it would be to his benefit. But I will bet any one of you out there that come, let's see, what are we in? July? So August, what comes after August? September, October. I bet by October he may not even be in this thing anymore. Or even when primary season comes, maybe he'll wait for primary season because he's a lot of dough. He can slap it down. But the minute he starts to fall in the polls, I bet he jumps out of this thing as fast as anything. That's just my thought on it. 1-866-437-2536. Noam Layden in for Geraldo Rivera, who is in Mexico City today watching the chaos unfold. Going to continue to take your phone calls here. Rick is in New York. Rick, you're on 77 WABC. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I just want to make a quick comment. First of all, I agree with Ralph. Donald Trump is nothing but a clown. He is the worst thing that could ever have happened to the Republican Party. And with that said, his dad, in I believe in 1957, was hauled into court for racial discrimination. They owned a lot of property on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. He would not rent to blacks or Hispanics. He was taken.
Wait, so where was this, Rick? Explain again.
I believe it's 1957. In the Upper West Side.
Oh, so this was his dad. This wasn't the Donald. This must have been his father.
His dad. Right. Which means the apple usually does not fall far from the tree.
Yeah, you know what, Rick? I don't agree with you there, and I'll tell you why. Because I've watched him. I don't think there's a racist bone in this guy's body. I think he made some stupid comments about Mexicans, but I think that's a really unfair accusation. I've never seen anything that demonstrate the fact that he's racist. Maybe his father was. I don't know. Never knew his father, so I can't speak for him. Let's see, Sid. Sid is in New York. Sid, you're on 77 WABC. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to just make two comments. Number one is, why do you want to believe the Khomeini when he says how peaceful he is? And why don't you believe him when he says death to America, death to the Jews? I'd like your comment on that. And why are you more critical? Not that I'm a lover of Donald Trump. And why are you more critical of a Donald Trump than you are of the Khomeini? Because you just made a remark how you thought it was such a good deal that Kerry and Obama made.
Well, I will answer both of those questions, Sid. First of all, I don't know that I necessarily believe that Khomeini is a good guy. But when I look at this deal, and we're talking about the Iran nuke deal, there's some four or five questions that are the big questions. Actually, a couple different papers had what I thought was pretty solid information from what we could get from this deal, at least what we know so far about this deal that the Democrats and the Republicans will be looking over in the next couple months. And some of the questions people are asking, of course, can Iran keep enriching uranium? Of course, that's a big question. Yeah, they can. They'll be allowed to produce and stock a small amount of uranium enriched at low levels, not suitable for a bomb without further processing. So the stockpile limit will last just 15 years. So I think that's a good thing. I think better to have this all out there than be in the dark. Right? Till now, we don't know what's going on there. We don't know what's going on in Iran with this deal. We shine a light on what's going on there with the hope that maybe the future will be more positive. Maybe we can improve relations with Iran. Maybe we can turn the people around in Iran, many of them who feel oppressed, who go online and see how the rest of the world lives and wonders why their leaders aren't providing for them in the same way that they are in other places around the world. Maybe we provide for some sort of uprising there. Maybe it's the beginning of that. I could be wrong. Maybe you can call me naive if you want, but I believe it's a good deal. Will Iran be able to make a bomb? Of course, that's the biggest question of all. If it abides by the terms of the deal, no. So for at least the next decade, it would not have enough material on hand or the centrifuges running to make a bomb's worth of weapons-grade uranium and to make those bombs, and we'd be all over it. The minute they start doing that, we have these inspectors who are able to go in there. Now, there are some downsides to this that make me a little bit worried. How can the U.S. be sure that Iran won't cheat? That's the maybe the second biggest question. And the real answer is we can't. Iran agreed to provide the inspectors greater access to information regarding its nuclear programs and to allow investigations of suspicious sites, but there are no guarantees. There's no guarantees anywhere, though. There was no guarantees up till now. We had no idea what was going on until now. Now we have a better sense. We've made a deal, maybe for a positive future between the relations between the U.S. and Iran. You never know. Maybe we could go back to the days when things were good, when the Shah was in charge. I mean, maybe it wasn't so good for the Iranian people when the Shah was in charge, but at least we knew what was going on there. Maybe even democracy breaks out there because of this deal. You can call me naive if you want to, 1-866-437-2536. But on the surface, I think this is a great deal.
Feeling better now that we're through. Feeling better because I'm over you. I learned my lesson and left a scar. Now I see how you really are. You're no good, you're no good, you're no good. Baby, you're no good.
Linda Ronstadt. She's Mexican, right? That works out nice. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Linda Ronstadt. Hey, could we be a little more hipper with the music, though? You know, I know Geraldo likes the old school stuff, but, you know, like, how about just music even from the last 10 years? I mean, that song's got to be from, like, 1970. So, what year? 75? All right, well, we were barely alive then. All right, so we're taking your calls all morning. Geraldo, by the way, in Mexico City, covering what is a really chaotic scene. He's going to check in with us after 11 o'clock. Sent there because it's the country's on the verge of chaos, anarchy. And, of course, Geraldo loves a mess, loves to cover a mess, and he'll be doing so. So we'll check in with him after 11 o'clock. So you got me. You know him right up until noon today. Two big topics we've been talking about all morning. It's talking about Donald Trump and this latest poll that has him in first place. I say he's a wrecking ball. I think that Lindsey Graham has it right. As a member of the media, look, it's fun to watch, but if you're somebody who's a supporter of the Republican Party, I think Donald Trump is a wrecking ball for this election season, and they need to get him out of the race before he ruins it for the Republicans. I guess the one bit of good news, I think, for the Republicans is Jeb Bush is kind of looking like the mature man in the race so far because he's not responding to these attacks that Donald is making on him and his family members at the same time. So I think it's a mess for the Republicans, and the quicker they can get Donald out, the better for the Republican Party and the better for their chances in the White House in 2016. And we're talking about the Iran nuke deal, which I think, at least on paper, look, I wasn't sitting in on the meetings, and so I don't know all the details, but on paper, what I'm looking at, I think it ends up being a pretty good deal. And at some point, we have to take that leap of faith that the eight world nations, and including the United States, would not sign on to a deal that would put any of us in extreme danger. So taking your phone calls on that, 1-866-437-2536, or if you like to spell it out, complicated, 866-Geraldo. We'll start with Mark, who is in New York City. Mark, you're on 77 WABC.
Good morning. I think what's being overlooked, although you're getting close to touching on it, is that whenever you have a field of 15 different candidates, the odd person out is going to seemingly be the front runner. So, for instance, if you had either Hitler or Stalin thrown into the mix, they would do surprisingly well because everyone else is divided.
Wait, are you saying Donald Trump is like Hitler or
Stalin? No. Everyone thinks it's an analogy. It doesn't equate them. It's the relativity thing. But this is why he is getting the traction, because he's the odd person out. Whenever there has been a poll with him and a small group, he comes in practically last. However, what is not being polled, and this is insanity on the part of the Republicans and very cleverness on the part of the Democratic partisans, is they don't match each of the 15 against Hillary and see who does the best.
Well,
and that's the person who everyone should then unite for. Forget about the little ideological, he's a little too far to the right than this one, or too far to the left. Whoever does better against Hillary, that's who everyone should support, and every candidate should pledge that ahead of time, and anyone not pledging that, as much as you may like that candidate, if he won't pledge to support whoever can do the best, don't vote for him or her.
All right, good point. Thank you so much for calling in. That in that same poll, by the way, where Trump is ahead by 3 percentage points over Jeb Bush, they did match him up 1-1 against Hillary and some of the other candidates against Hillary. And actually, Trump did the worst of the top five or six Republicans in the race by far. He was losing badly to Hillary Clinton, whereas Hillary Clinton was only up 4 points over Jeb Bush, who's the second guy who's coming up in second in this poll. Bill, in Warwick, you're on 77 WABC. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing just great, thanks.
Good. What I want to say is about Donald Trump. I can understand that his gruffness and the way he's using his wording and his sentences is one thing. But nobody gives this man credit for being able to pull together one of the strongest organizations in the world. He doesn't the one that runs his whole business. He tells everybody what to do. But he puts the right people in place. He doesn't walk into a room to make a deal calling somebody stupid. What he's doing now, he's showing a natural part of himself, which he needs to polish. But he has an organization.
Right, we're going to leave it there, Bill. Run out of time. It's the Geraldo Radio Show. No one laden pulling in 77 WABC. Doesn't that feel better, Crash? Music from, you know, that's at least a year or two old. You know, that's more like it. No more songs from 1975. Come on. Miley Cyrus there, Wrecking Ball. Noam Layden in for Geraldo, who is in Mexico City today, a country that is on the verge of anarchy. Total chaos there. And so that's why Geraldo loves to be in the middle of all that. Jumped an airplane yesterday afternoon to Mexico City, where there are huge protests today. And Geraldo joins us live on the phone. What's going on there, Geraldo?
I know. Mexico City, as you mentioned, tense, angry, following the sensational prison break by El Chapo, the powerful billionaire drug lord. Specifically, the demonstrators are mustering. They are, they're using the clock set by Latinos everywhere and an hour late, but they are people with various causes. Mainly they are focused at the dysfunction of the government, which has never been more clearly seen than it is with this prison break by El Chapo. You see, this happened, Noam, with the president of Mexico out of the country on a state visit, which led conspiracy theorists to say that he went out. That's why the break was timed for the president's not being present. So you would have plausible deniability, because there is no doubt that with the president of Mexico out of the country on this state visit to France, there is a feeling that his government, President Peña Nieto's government, is helplessly inept, hopelessly corrupt. From here in the capital, every newspaper is blaming that malignant corruption for the great escape of El Chapo. There's no way the feeling goes that prison officials at the highest level were not involved. I mean, you have to think about it. I'm heading out to the prison shortly. This notorious drug kingpin had escaped before. He was under 24-hour surveillance, video surveillance, and yet he managed to escape through a mile-long tunnel that was not only lighted and air-conditioned, but it managed this tunnel a mile long to land under the prison wall, under his cell, and not only under his cell, but under the one tiny 2-foot by 2-foot portion of his cell, where, because that's where the toilet is, the surveillance camera could not see. So what El Chapo did with this this escape hole is he paced and paced his little jail cell, walked behind the area where the toilet is, kind of crouched down, and was never seen again. He got into this tunnel, which, was an audacious, remarkable feat of engineering. And you can only say, and I don't know how anyone could possibly contradict, that this particular tunnel, unlike the escape in Dannemora, this tunnel required a huge bucket of bribes. It required a substantial supporting cast,
just think of this. Just think, where did they put all the dirt? Where did they put the dirt that filled a mile-long tunnel? They had to go three stories down, tunnel for a mile, 1.5 kilometers, then come up inside the prison, under his particular cell, and not only under his cell, but under his, at the feet, at the foot of his toilet. I mean, it, how do you do that without without people knowing what you are doing? So there's the feeling here in Mexico City as these protests gather that this dysfunctional nation now, which is already in crisis because of bloodshed, drug gangs, and again, this massive corruption where you buy everything from everybody. You buy the traffic cop, you buy the protection, you buy the tax man, you buy access to whatever you want to. There's a whole shadow economy here that exists outside the purview of the federal government. You had to come to the conclusion, as I have, that officials at the highest levels were probably complicit with public enemy number one in Mexico to humiliate their own country. No.
You know, it is amazing when you think about the Clinton Correctional Facility, and, you know, maybe there was five, seven people involved. You think about this is like contractors building a tunnel. We should bring these guys over to finish the Second Avenue subway. They did such a good job. You know,
or they could finish the subway here in Mexico City that they've been struggling with, like our Second Avenue subway, for decades. This was, I'm telling you, you have to, when you think about it, maybe people listening to 866 Geraldo can, maybe an engineer will call us. There had to be some kind of homing device or laser or thumper, or how did they know exactly where? I mean, that tunnel is like an arrow shooting right for that cell. It goes under a hill, three stories under a hill, under the prison, massive, massive prison walls, and then comes up under his cell. How did they do that? Maybe somebody listening can guide us,
you know,
to explain how they did it.
You know, El Chapo, has millions, if not tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars to spread around. The family's still in business. So that's probably what they did, right? They spread this money around. They got the contractors to come in, build the tunnel. They had people inside the prison they were paying off. I mean, it seems like it's a pretty simple explanation. And then when you think about that and you live in Mexico and you realize that all these people were on the take, no wonder people are up in arms and ready to protest.
Remember bin Laden's hideout in Abbottabad, Pakistan, a mile or two from the military, the Pakistani military academy. You know, our intelligence sources have come to the conclusion that there's probably zero chance that the terror mastermind lived so close to the West Point of Pakistan, behind this fortified compound with blacked-out windows for 10 years, and nobody in the Pakistani government or the Pakistani military knew about it. Zero chance of that. I think there's about a zero chance that El Chapo escaped with just a bunch of freelancers that he managed to hire. In terms of his wealth, Forbes has him pegged at $1 billion. And they have him as the fourth most powerful man in Latin America, following only people like Carlos Slim, the media magnate, and a handful of others. His wealth rivals that of Donald Trump. That's why it's so fascinating to see, Donald Trump, who made his money all legitimately in real estate, with a strong ego. He's up against El Chapo, this man who disgustingly raised, his own fortune in the billions. It's the same kind of ego, and they're swapping these tweets. Trump now, as he should, taking seriously the threats from El Chapo. You can imagine. I mean, it's like if the Sunni Muslim extremists can get a kid to be a suicide bomber, you can bet your bottom dollar that El Chapo can spread around enough money that he can hire a one-way assassin. So I think that Donald's moves toward enhanced security are a very good idea. I mean, this guy is very erratic, savage in many ways, the way they fight, the way these drug gangs fight for turf. But I think that this is, I mean, we have never, as far as I know, in modern American politics, had anything so bizarre happen as the Trump campaign, I think, stumbling on the issue of illegal immigration. I don't think for a second, when you think back to that rambling, otherwise powerful announcement speech, that ad-libbed announcement speech, I don't think Trump ever intended to phrase that whole Mexican drug dealer rapist sentence the way he did. Once he got the reaction, I think first stubbornly he dug in, then he saw that it was helping him, then he made that the headline. So you make Mexican immigrants or undocumented immigrants the headline of your political campaign, then you have this awful murder in San Francisco by an illegal immigrant of a totally innocent 32-year-old wonderful American citizen shot in the back by this immigrant. So that's cause number one that enhances Trump's angle. And then you have El Chapo escaping from the escape-proof maximum security prison. I mean, it's an amazing serendipitous string of events, very dramatic, very odd, very unprecedented, I think, and extraordinary. I'm focusing now on the manhunt for El Chapo and more, if I can, on this whole corruption angle, who got bought off. But I'm sure this is going to... You're going to see, if the government doesn't fall, you know, they have elections every 6 years, this guy is getting close to the end of his. I don't think his party can win a re-election based on the buzz from this negative buzz of the fight with the United States over immigration and the fact that they allowed the most wanted man they ever had in custody to escape. I think Mexico is in for a very, very rocky time. I think so is the American political process. And I said, as I said at the 10 o'clock hour, I mean, who knows? I don't think people are laughing at Trump's chances anymore, certainly not his chances of winning the Republican nomination, though.
Talking with Geraldo, who's live in Mexico City this morning in Mexico. So you say your part of your mission there is the search for El Chapo. Where do you think he is?
Man, oh, man, I have no idea. He's from his cartel, the Sinaloa cartel. That's one of the Pacific states. Mexico City is in the field. Mexico is a big triangle with the point headed down towards Central America and the wide side of the triangle, the U.S. Border, the southern U.S. southern border. So in this big triangle of Mexico, if you picture it in your mind, on the far left side is Sinaloa State. That's his base. That's El Chapo's base. Mexico City is in the high country right in the middle of the triangle. So he's like a day and a half drive from here if he did it by driving. It's a relatively short flight, maybe 2-3 hours at most, to get to Sinaloa. That's where, you know, he is a folk hero. They write songs about him. He gives money to poor people. He's a very popular, he's a hideous person who has spread untold misery in the veins of Americans everywhere. But in Sinaloa State, he's viewed as a saint, and they will do everything, it seems to me, to keep him safe. So usually escapees run for home. He may have done that, but again, as we've been saying, this is a man of almost untold wealth. He could do almost anything. He could buy, 30 Gulfstream private jets and send them off in 30 different directions to set us off the scent. I mean, this is a man that if he gets caught again, it's going to be because of the U.S. NSA, the CIA, the DOD, Department of Defense. It's going to take that kind of effort to rein in this incredibly wealthy, most wanted man on earth. No.
Okay, be careful out there, Geraldo. Geraldo Rivera in Mexico City covering the chaos. Ensuing chaos, the protests that'll take place in Mexico City. Of course, we'll check in with Geraldo again. 11:19, let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls. 1-866-437-2536, or if you'd like to do it by the name, 1-866-Geraldo. We've been talking about Donald Trump and talking about this nuke deal with Iran. Noam in for Geraldo, who is in Mexico City today covering what is a chaotic scene there. Huge protests. People, of course, really upset that El Chapo was able to get out of prison. That mile-long tunnel, they air-conditioned a motorcycle waiting for him. Clearly, hundreds of people had to be in on that deal. Bribes spread around everywhere. And now lots of people asking the question, what is going on in our country? And of course, here we're wondering, does that mean just floods of more people are going to come in our direction as chaos continues in Mexico? So Geraldo is in the middle of it all. We will check in with him again before we roll out of here on this morning. Been talking most of this morning about the Donald and the Iran nuke deal. The Iran nuke deal, at least on the surface, Marty, you stole my notes, but I had written down all these notes about my thoughts on why this is a good deal, why I think shining a light about what's going on in Iran, letting our teams of investigators or those UN teams of investigators in to watch what's going on, maybe helping the people on the streets with businesses back on track within Iran. I mean, people are really desperately poor there today. And it's because of the sanctions. Those sanctions brought Iran to the table because it brought Iran to its knees. And I think, at least on the surface, this seems like a good deal. The president at 1 o'clock today is going to talk more about this. He's going to have a press conference, and I'm sure many of the questions will be about that. And many of you, I'm sure, disagree with my thoughts on it, and I'm not surprised to hear that. So we'll go back to your phone calls. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. We'll start with Marty, who is in New York. Good morning. Marty, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, no. First of all, a quick shout-out to Vladimir Putin, because if it wasn't for Russia's strong hand, there wouldn't be any negotiations. We would have gone to war with Syria and then Iran years ago. So he deserves the credit, not Obama. But getting to my point, a glance at a map will show that Iran is hundreds of miles, maybe, I don't know, 700-800 miles away from Israel. And they know that any attack on Israel would mean war with the United States. So the idea of Iran posing a direct military threat to Israel is ludicrous. What this is all about is not Iran. It's really about Israel wanting to steal southern Lebanon. And they've always wanted southern Lebanon up to the Litani River, but they can't get it because of the heroic freedom fighters known as Hezbollah, who are supported by Iran.
I don't know if I'd call the Hezbollah freedom fighters, but I'm with you for some of this. Keep going.
Well, I mean, one man's terrorist, another man's freedom fighter.
No, that's true.
I mean, they're just fighting against an Israeli invasion. It is a fact, and this goes back to the very early days of Zionism, that they always, the early Zionists and the early Israelis always coveted southern Lebanon and controlled.
Well, that's not really, see, I know my Zionist history because I paid attention when I was in Hebrew school. I don't think that's accurate at all. The Zionist map, if you looked at the Zionist map during the Balfour Declaration days during the 1940s, leading up to the 1948 war, it did not include Lebanon. So I don't know where you're getting that from, Marty.
Well, no, the map did not. But I can show you statements from people like Chaim Weizmann and so on.
You mean Chaim Weizmann? Yeah, I don't know that Chaim Weizmann ever said anything about wanting Lebanon.
There's no reason.
I don't know about that.
In conflict with Iran. None whatsoever.
All right, well, it's an interesting take, Marty. I got to leave you there. Talk a little bit more about that nuke deal. We'll talk a little bit more about Donald Trump. And I want to get your take. I've been walking around the city lately, and I've noticed it seems we're on the decline in New York after 20 years of being on the up and up. I want to get your take on that. We'll do that and more. It's Noam Layden in for Geraldo on 77 WABC. Noam Layden in for Geraldo, who is in Mexico City today, in Mexico, where it's, as he has told us all morning, a pretty chaotic scene. El Chapo escaping prison earlier this week. People taking bribes everywhere. Everybody on the take. A government about to fall, maybe. Anarchy, maybe. People running across the border because they see what's going on in Mexico and like what's much more of what's going on the other side here in the States. So are more people coming this way? We'll ask some of those questions. Geraldo's going to check in with us one more time before we roll out of here at noon. You know, have you noticed this? I have been doing a lot of walking around the city now that it's really nice. And first of all, if you're like me, guy or girl, eye candy everywhere. For the guys, there's eye candy. For the girls, there's eye candy for everybody when, you know, everybody starts throwing those clothes off in the summertime. That's the time you want to take a walk up 6th Avenue, you know, at lunchtime. So as I've been doing that, you know, for exercise too, by the way, I have noticed what people have sort of been whispering in my ear and didn't want to believe is, I wonder if we're a city on the decline. So I'm walking in Times Square. You know, you remember, it wasn't so long ago, the Times Square was nasty. It was so disgusting, you don't want to go anywhere near it. And then starting, what, about the Giuliani administration time into Mayor Bloomberg, boy, did those two make this a great city. They did so much to further the city. And now I wonder, and I don't know if the blame falls on Mayor de Blasio, maybe it does, but it seems like slowly, slowly we're creeping back to those old days. So I'm walking through Times Square, it was yesterday, a couple days ago, and I noticed there was more homeless people on the streets than I can remember in a really long time. And I wonder if people are coming from other places. You know, maybe 5 or 10 years ago, if you were somebody looking to panhandle and make some money, you said, well, I'm not going to go to New York because, you know, they're not going to let me sit on the streets and beg. But now, maybe with this new mayor in office, maybe people are feeling like, hey, I can get away with more. This guy's a little more lean, you know, more, a little more liberal, or a lot more liberal, maybe. 1-866-437-2536. Maybe you're seeing the same thing. I've also noticed, you know, back in the day, I can remember my father worked in the General Motors building, and sometimes I would come into Manhattan to visit him, and I remember he'd always warn me before I came in to take my wallet out of my back pocket and put it into my front pocket. And that's because it was dangerous then, you know. This was right about the time of the Giuliani administration, so I would do that. I would take the wallet and put it into the front pocket. Now, I can't remember the last time I really did that because it feels so safe. I've also noticed, too, and I think this is always a telltale sign that things are going down, is there is seems to be, not in Midtown, but if you go to the Upper West Side or Upper East Side, if you go to Lower Manhattan, don't know what it looks like in the outer boroughs. But for sure in Manhattan, if you go around, you see that there are more massage parlors, those storefront massage parlors. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure this is legitimate ones. But my guess is most of the ones that I'm seeing, the new ones, are not legit. They're sort of rub and tug places. So that can't be good for the city. And I think they had a lot of those back in the day, too, before things turned around. 1-866-437-2536. 1-866-Geraldo. Would you blame the mayor for what's going on? Has he made it just more permissive that you can do what you want as you walk city streets, that it's easier to get away with stuff, and now we're paying for it? Here we are. He's only been in, what has he been in office, a year? Yeah, it's just a little year and a half, right? Year and a half, right? It hasn't been that long. And is it just a coincidence that it's happening during his administration, that maybe we were ready for this decline? I mean, real estate's still gangbusters. But again, as I walk the streets, I seem a little bit dirtier. I seem to be a lot more homeless people. Downstairs, we're 17 floors above Madison Square Garden, and below Madison Square Garden is Penn Station. And I know as a reporter, when I do Man on the Street, there's no place better to go for Man on the Street stuff when you ask people questions than Madison Square Garden, because there's always thousands of people there, and that inevitably somebody will talk to you. Even though a lot of people will turn you away, a lot of people want to chat. What I've noticed there, as I've gone down there to do Man on the Street over the last 3 or 4 months, there's a lot more homeless people begging inside Penn Station. And where are the people who shoo them away? And it's part of the problem that the NYPD, you know, they've had these battles back and forth with the mayor. Mayor sometimes has not shown a lot of faith in the NYPD. Or the NYPD maybe pulling back on the job they should be doing in places like Penn Station because they don't feel like the mayor has their back. And does that lead to all this homelessness? And so we're going to take your phone calls, 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. I don't want to go back to those days, by the way. I don't want to go back to those days because New York has become the greatest city in the world. I mean, it always was the greatest city in the world, but I believe since the Bloomberg administration, going back to Giuliani, those two mayors made it even better. It's the reason why the rest of the world wants to come here. What is it, 43 million visitors? Something like that. Some huge number coming to visit the city last year. 1-866-437-2536. Let's take some of your calls. Vinny is out in New Jersey. Vinny, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking care of my call. So I went to Penn Station. I was just like a lot of homeless people panhandling, begging. Like I felt nervous and afraid. And you'll see, they were doing it right in front of the police. Like, they weren't afraid of the police. Like, it just felt like an eerie, uncomfortable feeling.
Where was this, Vinny? Where was it?
Penn Station.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, and just
like people everywhere in the corners, in the hallways, and I mean, you feel bad. They're begging you, asking you for money, but they do it right in front of the police. Like they don't. There's like nothing.
And the officers aren't doing anything. And they used to. They used to shoo those people out of Penn Station, shoo them out of the Port Authority. And boy, I don't want to sound, and Vinny, thanks so much for your call. I don't want to sound like not understanding of those people's plight. I mean, those are people who are down and out on their luck, and they're doing, I guess, what they have to do to get by. Some of them, probably a fair amount of them, are people who might be institutionalized. Another fair amount of them are people who are probably nodding out from shooting up heroin and just looking for their next fix. But it feels like those numbers are just higher than they ever have been before. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Richard is in the Bronx. Good morning, Richard. You're on 77 WABC.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, liberalism strikes again. All you got to do is look around the country. Look at Chicago. Look what happened to that poor girl in San Francisco. Sanctuary cities. Crime going up. It's liberalism. We all know it. You voted for it. This is what you get.
Yeah, well, you might be right about that. Richard, thanks so much up in the Bronx. Let's go to John. John, who's in Pennsylvania. You're on 77 WABC, John.
Hello?
You're on, John.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that I'm a long-time listener to both you and Geraldo, but I think everything that was played out on today's show with the corruption and the anarchy and people fleeing the country because of the crime and stuff is exactly what Donald Trump was talking about.
You may be right about that, but I don't know whether you agree with me or not, but I wonder if he's really, I still don't believe he's totally serious about his run. I think because he knows he has something to go back to. And so some of these other candidates, like Scott Walker, who's a middle-class guy, never went to college, is hungry. He wants the White House. What's in it for Donald Trump? I feel like it's just something to do. It's something to kill some time. And I understand why people are attracted to
him. I don't know if it's just a trophy, so to speak, but I actually think he could be serious. And I think the nation really does need to reform. And, you know, he might bring some good things to the table. I mean, he definitely knows how to run a business, that's for sure, which is a plus. And he's got a lot of business experience. And, you know, that's in a sense, the country has to be run as a business to a degree, you know. So, I mean, but your show this morning was really what Donald was talking about. And Geraldo is very good, but sometimes he does get a little bit biased as far as the immigration process is concerned.
Well, John, that's a passion of Geraldo's, always has been, has written a couple of books about it, so no doubt that's something he's always thinking about. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. John is in New Jersey, and John, you're on 77 WABC.
Hello, John. John going once, John going twice.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. Are we seeing the decline of New York City, and is Mayor de Blasio to blame? I think so, as I watch it from my vantage point, 17 floors above Madison Square Garden. Noam Layden in for Geraldo on 77 WABC. Noam in for Geraldo today, who's in Mexico City covering the protests, big protests in Mexico City today about the economy, El Chapo, everything. It's all combined into one. So he's there. I'm sure he'll check in again with us tomorrow. By the way, I do a 5 a.m. show right here on 77 WABC, really highly rated, too. Let me just pat myself on the back. There we go. It's called The News Hour. So if you're up at 5 a.m., definitely tune in. We have a lot of fun. I mean, The News Hour doesn't really give you a sense of what kind of show it is. It's really kind of a fun, laid-back little hour because you sort of feel like nobody's listening, so I can do what I want. So tune in, and if not, you can always find us on the podcast at WABCradio.com. We have the podcasts of all the show. But if you're up at that early hour driving into the city or whatever you're doing, make sure you tune in. And, of course, you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Noam Layden. And if you can spell it, you'll be able to find me. Sometimes I put up sexy pictures of my wife. She doesn't know that, though. Let's see. So we're talking about the fact that the city is on the decline. And my sense is that maybe it has something to do with the de Blasio administration sort of being kind of laid back, maybe not ready for prime time. And I see it everywhere. People sleeping right outside Madison Square Garden. And I'm telling you, 2 years ago, before the Mayor de Blasio was in office, I didn't see as many people sleeping out there. Now there seems to be tons of people sleeping out there. Getting your phone calls on this as well. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Tim is in New Jersey, and now, Tim, you're on 77 WABC. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Well, thank you for taking my call. My wife and I frequently go into New York City. We travel in to visit our daughter, who lives and works in Manhattan, and we see a change immediately. There's uptown, midtown, downtown. There's dirt. It's filthy. Homeless people, as you said. We're in at least twice a week, and we noticed it since with the new administration. And it's just something that the last 7 or 8 years prior to this administration, it was I was never asked, approached by anyone for money. But it's gotten to the point now, wherever we go, again, wherever we are, uptown, midtown, downtown, someone is approaching us, and we notice trash all in the parks, on the corners, up and down the streets. And I just wanted to comment. I know we're running out of time, but thank you very much.
So you come in, and I thank you very much, Tim, for your phone call. So I guess lots of people are seeing the exact same thing that I'm seeing, this sort of, and it does seem to be timed exactly to the year that, or the time that de Blasio came into office. And I'm, if you listen to my news hour, you'll know I'm not a huge political animal where I point fingers at politicians. So I guess I did that a little bit with Donald Trump this morning. But you can't help but notice it, that it seems to have happened. And I think a big part of it is the relationship between the NYPD and we do have Geraldo, so we'll go to him 1 second, the NYPD and the mayor's office. And maybe that has something to do with it. So we have Geraldo. He's in Mexico City. Geraldo. Hello, Geraldo.
Hi. No, hey. I'm sorry. How you doing, buddy?
Good, good, good. We have just a minute or so. So tell me what's going on in Mexico City.
Well, the protesters are gathering. We just hit the road. We're heading for the prison now where El Chapo escaped. And my feeling is certainly is the feeling of all the big Mexican media outlets is that it would have been impossible, this grand scheme, without the help of people in powerful places, whether in the facility itself or even above that. And there's a real suspicion here that you throw enough money around and you can buy basically whatever you want. And it's just too, the job is just too neat. I keep going back to the engineering aspect of it. How they managed to dig a tunnel mile through uncharted dirt hills and end up under the guy's toilet bowl.
Yeah, well, you know, so lots of great questions, Rod. I'm going to interrupt you there because we're running out of time, but we're going to listen to your play-by-play from Mexico City tomorrow morning starting at 10 a.m., all the protests, and, of course, more on the Iran nuke deal and a whole lot more. Noam Layden filling in for Geraldo, 77 WABC.